problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Hey folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and nttfitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, nttfitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the homemade broadcast.
This is outrageous. Where are the armed men who come in to take the protesters away? Where are they? This kind of behavior is never tolerated in Boracua. You shout like that, they put you in jail. Right away. No trial, no nothing. Journalists, we have a special jail for journalists. You're stealing, right to jail. You're playing music too loud, right to jail, right away. You're driving too fast, jail. Slow, jail. You're charging too high prices for sweaters, glasses. You write to jail. You undercook fish, believe it or not, jail. You overcook chicken, also jail. Undercook, overcook. You make an appointment with the dentist and you don't show up, believe it or not, jail, right away. We have the best patients in the world because of jail.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back to the show. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. If you'd like to leave some sort of message over there, you could do so. Website is HMBRadio.com. If you haven't got your stickers or magnets, I still have some, and I want to send them to you. Just send me a text or voicemail or email at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com and put your address in there, and I will send some along to you. I hope you're well. I am. I'm pretty good. Tired, but I'm good. I think the big news of the week was I got a response from the most hated man in St. Petersburg, Mr. Kevin McBride, owner of McBee's. Responded back to my interview request. If you've been following the show the past few weeks, he had some trouble with some people because he's a lunatic and he's fighting with a bunch of people, but he's also being treated very unfairly. You can go back and check out the past few weeks' episodes if you want to catch up on that, but he finally responded back to me. He sent me a message on Facebook, and his response was a GoFundMe page. So he's raising money to, I don't know, I guess, fight the... I don't know what he's fighting. I don't understand, but he's going to try to hire an attorney. I don't know who's going to take his case. But I guess, I don't know, his building has been vandalized and stuff, so maybe somebody would take his case, but he's pretty much just begging for money at this point. So I don't think he'll be coming on the show, but the invite still stands, Kevin, if you're listening, and I'd like to have you and hear your side of the story. Other big news was the college admission scandal last week, or was that a week and a half ago now? And it was a big deal because everybody found out that if you're rich, you can buy your way into college. Everybody knows that. That's always been a thing since things been things. But it was a big deal. The FBI and police found, let's see here, the U.S. Attorney in District of Massachusetts charged 50 people in federal court as part of a long-running nationwide conspiracy to illicitly gain admission for high school students who top colleges and universities. Many parents apparently paid $200,000 and up to $6.5 million to have their children admitted into various universities. Television stars Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives and Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky, were charged as part of the alleged scheme. Both actresses were charged with conspiracy to commit mail fraud and other fraud. Loughlin and her husband, she's married to Massimo Gialnulli. I used to buy his shorts from Target. I remember my mom, they had, I think those were the ones, I don't know if you remember, but they were really cool. They had, they were long jean shorts, and then they had like some sort of stripe up them. They had like a jersey material or some sort of checkered thing. Everybody had them. Oh no, those were Utility. The brand was Utility, not Massimo. Anyway, sorry. I got all excited there for a minute. Blast from the past. So they agreed to pay their two daughters into USC, and the deal was is that they were going to be part of the crew team. The problem is that they didn't row. They didn't do any of this stuff. So I guess somehow the FBI or whatever caught wind of this, and now these people are in trouble. But guess what? You know, you can also buy your way into universities. You can also buy your way out of jail time. So I don't think these people will do any jail time. But, you know, the big thing to me about this that I felt was that this isn't the real story. There is a lot of admission scandals going on, especially in today and within the past few years, decades, I guess. And that's they're letting too many people into college. College itself is the scam, okay? And I'm a good example of this, right? So I went to the University of South Florida. Love the Bulls. Love the football program there. They break my heart every year. But I enjoy that aspect of it. And I learned a lot in college. I learned how to put myself out there and not be afraid of criticism. That was a good lesson to learn. But was it worth 50 grand? I don't think so. I don't know. And that's pretty much what I learned. I got an English degree, okay? I speak English. It wasn't hard. It was reading the classics, and then you took a test on it and wrote a paper on it, and that was it. I didn't gain anything from that, really. I forget most of the things that I read. It was all boring. It was all stuff that I was not interested in, but I felt like the culture pushed me into going to school, and I was either given the option of either go to school or get a job, and since I had been going to school most of my life, I decided to continue on with my education. Now, many people are like me, and they got their education in stupid stuff. I got in a fight with a friend of mine a couple years ago, I remember. You know, she was going to school for English as well. Now, she liked English and was passionate about, you know, the written word and learning about these things. I didn't give a crap, but she was going to this elite school in, I think, England or something. She was going to transfer over there and get her degree. And I cautioned her about that because I felt like it was my duty as an English degree recipient to let her know that it got me nowhere. It was a useless piece of paper that I had that, yeah, I had a degree, but it wasn't in anything tangible that I could use. And didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should say anything or not because, number one, it's not my business. It's not my life. But I just wanted to caution because I made these mistakes. Now I have this debt that I can't get rid of. And I wanted to caution her against potentially making the same mistakes and going to an elite school like she was going to. It was going to probably be hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to this school instead of just the state school prices for me. And I upset her because I just told her that this English degree was nonsense. It's not going to do anything. Unless you're going to teach, it's worthless. It's completely worthless. And I remember she cried, and I felt so bad. But I felt like I did my duty, and maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should have kept my mouth shut. But I am a big proponent of not going to college, having gone to college now. Because most of the degrees are absolutely useless. They're in social science or, you know, English or whatever. It's bunk, man. You don't need to go to school unless you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. Anything else, just go to a trade school or go work. Just go right into the job force. And if you're competent and have a slightly above IQ or average IQ even, you're going to do well. You'll get promoted as long as you're reliable and show up. And, you know, your manager or whatever sees that they can count on you, you're going to do okay. So there's no reason to go to school for English. I don't know. What do you think? 813-693-2124. So, yeah, I got all this debt now. It's like holding me back. It's the biggest burden that I have in my life right now, pretty much. I got a pretty easy life. I got a good life. But if I didn't have this crushing student loan debt, oh, my God, I could be maybe buying a house. I looked into buying a house. I don't really have any debt aside from, you know, a couple $100 on a credit card. And the only debt that I have is this mounting student that it's accumulating all this interest because I'm not really paying it. I'm doing an income-based payment plan that you can do because they want $700 a month, which is my rent. I can't afford $700 a month to pay the government this money back. And I know that I took the money, okay? I get it. I know that I signed the promissory note. I'm on the hook for it. I totally understand. However, isn't it under the understanding that if you get this degree, you're going to be successful in life, that you're going to get a job? Isn't that kind of promise? Isn't that part of the deal? That's what I thought. So why should I have to, you know, they shouldn't have gave me this money. Aren't they responsible for any of this stuff? I know no, because I signed the promissory note, but it just doesn't seem right. And when the government guarantees these loans, the prices go up and up and up because the government guarantees this money's going to keep rolling in. It's a giant scam, man. I'm telling you. If I ever have kids, I'm not sending them, unless they're super, super smart, want to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or something like that. One dude I was talking to, he just got his kid into some like boot camp where you learn to code the computers. That's the future, obviously, right there. And he's starting them young. And hopefully by the time he's a teenager, he'll probably already have a job somewhere. That's the way to go, man. Not going to school for English. So I don't know. What do you think about this? 813-693-2124. I wish I would have just went and freaking got a job. In 2003, when I graduated high school, I probably could have went to a radio station. Now it's really hard, you know, to get in there. I had to get referred, and it was a long process to get a job that pays $10 an hour in promotions. But back then, I'm sure, you know, radio was still kind of up and coming. This was for a podcast. It was still like a viable, and radio still is viable. It's just it was more of a moneymaker, I think, back then. I probably could have got a job, you know, real easy in promotions and worked my way up. I actually had my dad got me a interview to intern for MJ. Remember that guy? He used to be here in Tampa. And I was supposed to go in and interview with the executive producer to potentially be an intern on the MJ show. And I didn't go because I didn't want to get up at like, you know, 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or whatever, a couple days a week. What an idiot. But, you know, at the same time, things have gone pretty good for me since then. I got to say, you know, I have a show on the radio now that I co-host with a friend of mine, and I have a great time doing that. So, you know, things worked out, I guess. I mean, I just have to actually make some money doing these things, and then the dream will be complete. But, yeah, I don't know. It's College is a waste of time. Don't do it, man. I'm telling you. Please heed my words. If you have children that are getting up there, send them to be a plumber or something and start a business. They'll make $100,000 a year and have a pretty good life. So this show is brought to you by, yes, believe it or not, this show has sponsors. I sometimes can't believe it. I want to say thank you to Truvie Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Pete. Check them out. Make your appointment today. Botox Lady comes once a month and will shoot poison wherever you want. I don't think into your heart or brain or anything. She won't kill you, but she will make you sexy as hell. So get on that. Make your appointment. Truvie, T-R-U-V-Y, salonandspa.com. And Homemade Podcast. I believe in Homemade Podcast because it's my little company that I have. Homemade Podcast is a media consulting company, mostly focusing on podcasting. So if you have any questions, like if you want to start a podcast, don't know where to begin, or if you want to, if you're a business and wants to reach new and existing clientele, podcasting is a great way to do that. It's a growing medium. And I know how to do it because I'm doing it right now. That's how I'm speaking to you. So get at me at homemadepodcasts.com. You can leave an email over there, or you know, you can always call the HMB radio line. Leave a message, 813-693-2124. Or if you're a local business and wants to advertise with an up-and-coming podcast, I have one, and I'd like to work with you. So hit me up at hmbradio.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
Earlier this week on Stay Woke, Stay Woke is a terrestrial radio program heard on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay, theboneonline.com, everywhere else, and you can get the app in the iTunes or Google Play stores. Just search 102.5 The Bone, download it. You can get Stay Woke on demand when you want them, plus all the other excellent Bone shows that I still can't believe I'm in the lineup for, including the Mike Calta Show, Roger and JP, Drew Garabo Live, Soul Brother Kevin, Johnny B Show, and Stay Woke, plus all the other great content's available on there. And this week we talked about, when are you an adult? I'm starting to feel like an adult, kind of. I'm 34 years old now. And sometimes I feel like a kid still, but that's probably just because of the lifestyle that I lead. Not married. I don't have kids. So I think that's a big thing when you get married and have children and stuff. Those are big milestones where you're probably like, oh, God, I don't have to just, you know, I have to live for other people now and not just me. That's probably a big one. But science has said that you're not really an adult until you're in your 30s. So Anna and I talked about that on Stay Woke. Let's hear that clip.
So I believe, Will, that you sent me this article today.
I did.
About when you are fully and completely a grown adult. Now, I assumed that the brain was pretty much fully developed by... Oh, do not make me sign in. Oh, no. You mother F. The brain was fully developed, I think, at the age of, like, what? Like, 25? Is that kind of, like, the standard?
I had always heard that your frontal cortex was not fully developed until you were about 27. So I thought around 27 you were kind of an adult. But the article that I found today says scientists say that you don't become an adult until you're in your 30s. And not even 30, but 30s. So I don't know
I honestly think this is a bunch of BS. I'm going to tell you why right now. The brain is constantly changing, right? And when we say fully developed, I mean, you're constantly creating new avenues. The more that you learn, the more information that you retain, the brain looks different with age. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure what they mean by fully developed, because you could say you're not fully developed until you're, you know, 80s, 90, whatever it may be, because, again, the brain changes over time like any organ does.
And it does say that so scientists who study the brain and nervous system say that the age at which you become an adult is different for everyone. So that must be just kind of the mean average.
But then what are we considering an adult? Just fully grown? Is that the definition? Like fully developed?
Well, I mean, the article says research suggests people aged 18 are still going through changes in the brain, which can affect behavior and make them more likely to develop mental health disorders.
Okay. I'm going to tell you why I think this is BS, even though this doctor who is allegedly, whatever, he's from Cambridge University, big whoop.
Mm-hmm.
But in the environment in which we evolved, Will, we almost never made it past the age of 30. You know what I mean? I feel like because of the advent of technology, medicine, and just modern living, we live far, far longer than we're really supposed to. You know, there was this whole... or there is this whole theory as to why menopause even exists. Because if you look at most species, if you can't breed anymore, you just die. That's what happens.
Mm.
You don't live to the point of life beyond reproductive capacity. That makes no sense. Why
but
would
human,
you?
Human ingenuity has allowed us to continue on longer.
That's what I'm saying.
Longer.
So yeah. People say that there's this whole thing called the grandmother hypothesis, like you purposely stay alive so you can take care of your youngs young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's the case. I don't believe in group selection. Well, I guess if it's not necessarily group selection, if it's your genes that you're helping care for, I suppose. But I'm thinking that we were never supposed to make it to the age of menopause, at least let's say in terms of for women. I'm thinking that in the environment in which we evolved, we often just were picked off by the time we were 30, 35 tops. You were dead. You never made it to menopause. But now we're outliving our reproductive cap, which is relatively new, I would say.
Well, we defeated nature. We're building homes. We're building artificial climates. Yeah, yeah. But it's not how we're supposed to. To live, like we're not supposed to get to a certain age and die necessarily. We're able to control those conditions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm agreeing. That's what I just said.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because of the advent of medicine, technology, modern living, et cetera, we're able to outlive these usual reproductive and survival limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting.
But I mean, it's still. So you think that? Like, when do you think you're an adult then? Like when you reach a breeding age,
I don't know what. Again, it depends on how you define an adult. Like, are we talking legally because you're 18? In terms of brain development, depends on the person. I've met. Let me tell you, or if it comes to maturity. Like, Have you ever met someone who is old but immature? And how bizarre that is.
Yeah.
Like people in their 40s that they just don't. They still say things like, I can't, adulting. You're like, you're 45. You've been adulting for the last 25 years. What are you doing?
Is that just dumb people, though?
Possibly.
Maybe not having anything
possibly.
To do with-
I think it has something to do with, there's probably an intersectionality when it comes to intellect, when it comes to age, and when it comes to maturity. But yeah, I've met people who are old and they're not mature at all.
I mean, I feel like I've changed quite a bit even from 25 to 34.
Hopefully you have.
Now,
yeah.
I feel like I understand the world more, which I guess I have more information and, you know, to make those decisions.
As you should with more age, more time.
But the thing that I thought when I saw this was there's politicians actively trying to lower the voting age to 16
yeah,
years
I saw
old.
That.
And are you equipped to make those sort of decisions when you're 16? And I don't think so. I was joking the other day. I was talking to Big Den down at the office. And I said, I don't think you should be able to vote until you're 35, realistically. And I was kind of kidding. But then I think this research would kind of go along with that. I think 35 would be
I think that's too old.
Too old?
Yeah.
All right. How about 30? You settle on 30?
No, I don't know. Again, these are all arbitrary numbers, right? Like if you're 17 and 364 days old, you're a child. But then next day, your birthday, you're an adult. There has to be a line in the sand, I understand. But I want it to be standard. Like I think if you can go and fight for your country at 18, mm-hmm. if you can if you can smoke, I think that you should be able to drink. I think that you should be able to, what other things can you not do? Yeah, drink, right? I guess that's the only one that you can't do until you're 21.
Yeah, you can't rent a car, I think, until
you're
25.
Something like that, yeah. So I think it should be just standardized. Like, we pick an age, maybe 20, whatever it is, and at that age, you can do everything. You can vote, you could smoke, you could drink, you could do whatever the hell you want
mm-hmm.
at a certain age. But you got to pick something. I think 35 is too old. I think 30 is too old. I'd be happy with 18, 21. That's fine. But I mean, I've met, I remember when I was traveling like in Southeast Asia, there was a lot of Israelis that were traveling as well because they were just getting out of the army. We were the same age, you know, like 21, 22, 23. They're getting out of the army. I was just like on holiday, you know, and you're the same age, maybe even older. completely different outlooks on life.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. I remember I met this guy. I don't even remember his name. But he's talking to me, and he had just such a mature demeanor, jaded. And I came to find out he was like, he was a sniper for the Israeli army for 4 years, and he was 22 getting out of the army.
Mm.
He's been to war. He's seen people die.
A lot of life experience.
Oh, yeah. He's protected his country. Like, you think Americans have patriotism? Like, Israelis are fighting for their lives, like, every day. But and so he was telling me, he was showing me all his tattoos. He's like, oh, this is for like this person that died and this person. And I'm like, holy S, man, completely different than me being just like a, felt like I was like a bubblegum grow up kid,
right?
You know, just out of college, drinking wine out of bags, like just being an absolute disaster. And this guy has been to war, and we're the same age.
And it's all life experience.
Exactly. Yeah. So certain experiences can mature you.
And like they said, like I said, they do say this in the article that it does depend, but I think the bell curve, it's around your 30s when they, I guess the research that they've done, it doesn't really say how many people they sampled or anything like that. But when we talked about arbitrary numbers, I just remembered something, which was my bubby. Now this is anecdotal, but I remember having a conversation with her about being old. And she would just kind of say, you know, I feel like I'm 30, and she said 30, so that seems relevant.
Were you around 30? Like,
no, I was, I don't know, 19.
Okay,
or something. I was
right.
Just having. She says, I feel like I'm 30, but my body, like, I can't get up out of the chair, and that, how frustrating that was to her. But she picked that number 30. I don't know if it was just because it was a nice round number, but she didn't say 20. She didn't say 25. She said 30. So maybe there's something to this 30s number where you actually become a full functioning person, like. You know, she was 84 at that time,
okay.
But she, in her mind, she felt like she was 30 years old. So maybe that meant that her brain was developed at 30, you know, and she was who she pretty much was going to be that from then on.
Possibly. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe she just thinks 20 is a bit on the young side, like you're more of like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in Bubby's age, though. Like, they usually got married off and started having babies pretty young. So.
I think she already had one or two by that time,
727-579-1025. At what age do you feel like you are fully grown? And I feel like, you know, like we're talking about, it's different for every single person. And I feel like at every age, like every present age, like I'm 31 right now. And I feel like when I was 22 or when I was 25, I would think, okay, now I am the person that I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Like, I just had this massive lesson. You know, I just finished college. I just went traveling. Now I know this is who I am from here on out.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, you go through another hurdle. Oh, my God. Okay. Now I went through that.
Now this
is the me I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Okay.
Right.
And at this point in my life, I've realized that you are ever changing. You are ever developing, you're ever growing, and sometimes not necessarily in the direction that you want to go.
But are we talking tweaks on little things? You tighten a few nuts and bolts here, and then you, you know, grease up some stuff like
no,
it's a machine? Or is
I
it like
say,
it changes your perspective on things dramatically?
I'm going, I wouldn't say necessarily dramatically. I wouldn't say you get tightened up. Some things get better, but some things, like you get, your innocence gets chipped away. You know, like you think maybe you can trust people and then someone completely screws you over. Your best friend bangs your boyfriend. Now you have trust issues. So you kind of have a little bit more baggage than you did before. So it's not that you're necessarily changing. I don't want to say for the better or worse. You're just changing based on your experiences. You're now hyper vigilant or sensitive to something that you wasn't even on your radar before. Mm. Like now after, you know, the last year I've had, now I'm not saying like I have a whole lot of baggage, but now I'm just like, okay, I'm more aware of certain things than I wasn't before. You try to, that's the whole point of living. You try to learn from either your mistakes or some things that you ignored so that you could try to avoid those mistakes in the future, right?
Yeah. But the example that you gave, for instance, the, you know, your best friend banged your boyfriend or whatever. I feel like that happens.
That didn't happen to me,
I know,
by the way.
But I think stuff like that mostly happens to everybody at a certain point. Most of it, even if we don't know it, you know, if you don't think you've ever been cheated on, you probably have, 100%. But that stuff happens
I wouldn't say 100%.
In college. You know,
not for everybody.
not for everybody, but I think for most people, stuff like that happens. I mean, yeah, there's extramarital affairs that take place. I guess that happens a lot, too. I don't know. But I feel like that behavior is more prevalent probably when you're college age. So you go through
not
that
necessarily.
Then.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Yes, I agree.
I don't think that you're more likely to experience that at college than you are maybe in your 30s. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think
it's probably more prevalent back then because you're drinking a lot. You don't know how to drink and, you know, you booze and then everybody's just horny. And, you know, I think it's probably happens more then than in your 30s.
But I feel like when it happens in your 30s, it's usually the stakes are higher because you're in a more developed relationship. You know, again, when you're in the moment, it's going to hurt no matter what. But imagine you've been dating someone for a month and he bangs your best friend in college on a drunken night at a fraternity party versus like someone you're engaged to or your husband bangs your best friend or a guy that you moved across the country for, which happened to one of my best friends. Mm. Like she moved across the country for this guy and then 2 months later finds out, oh, he's banging somebody else. Like those horrible experiences where you uproot your life and you have a lot, the stakes are much higher.
How old was she when it happened?
It must have been, I don't know, 26, 25, 26. So, okay. I mean, definitely like 5, 6 years out of college.
So maybe the frontal cortex wasn't developed. You don't think about the circumstances and the consequences of your actions.
No, you
and
just
maybe,
don't know.
Maybe it's when you're older in your 30s, you think about the consequences more.
Possibly.
Your brain's developed.
And also just with more time, you've had more experiences. You've had a wider gamut of things to go wrong in your life, right? The more years you live, the more things can go wrong in those years. And you have more life experience. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, sometimes it's kind of sad when you're like, man, I never had to worry about this before. This was never an anxiety of mine. And now I have extra baggage where I didn't necessarily want to. But I feel like not that you can untrain your baggage, but you can you have to get in the mindset where you can't be afraid to go try something again, whether it be a relationship or a job or moving somewhere just because you had a negative experience in the past.
Yeah.
That's also something else you need to train yourself.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, a lot of things are very traumatic for some people, you know, but you have to try again. You have to keep living life
just
to hinder yourself. And that's what people do is they hold themselves back because they either feel guilt or whatever it is, or they're afraid.
Right.
Man, that's just no way to live. And you can't just tell them, too, like, you got to get over this, too. They have to do it at their own rate.
Right.
But they're just wasting time.
Yeah, I understand. And also, like, much like, and maybe I'm wrong, but this is kind of how I view it, much like a callus, like, when you first start lifting weights, sometimes your hands get a bit raw because you're not used to gripping metal. And it hurts. Or if you play guitar or something, I remember my dad would have calluses on his fingers. But then after you start to use your hands more, it doesn't hurt as much because you have calluses to protect your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing emotionally what you have. Like even though you may go through heartbreak, or you may go through hard times again and again and again, you know from past experiences that you can get through it. You've done it before. You now have evidence that you've gone through it before. You know, even though it's painful, that you will see the bright light at the end of the tunnel, whether it be a month, 2 months, maybe even a year down the road. But you know, you have the confidence that you know that you can get through it.
All right, there we go. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Thoughts, concerns, comments, mean stuff, nice stuff, whatever it is, I'm willing to listen. If you didn't already, please subscribe to HMB Radio Tampa Bay in your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search HMB Radio, all one word, Tampa Bay. Hit the subscribe button. Give it a 5-star rating while you're there. And tell a friend about it. Retweets, sharing it, that all really helps. It only takes a second. And it really, really, really does help me out, and I appreciate you doing that. Get your stickers, hit me up, send me your address, and I'll send some out to you. Magnets, all that good stuff. And with that, I will say goodbye to you for the week. Catch me on Stay Woke weeknights at midnight on 102.5 The Bone. Otherwise, I will talk to you next week. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned, because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next if it's a Sunday evening. And the Indie Circuit is coming up after that. If you're listening on podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you next week. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz. Have a great, great, great week. Bye. Bye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.